Weddings represent a $50 billion industry with an average of about 44,000 weddings taking place each weekend. The industry is made up of multiple enterprises like caterers, wedding consultants, and honeymoon-related details. Since the average engagement lasts 14 months, wedding planning becomes an important part of the engaged couple's pre-married life. In today's message, The Wedding Planner, Dr. David Jeremiah teaches four principles that help us keep focused on the true purpose of marriage. Here's David to introduce his message.
And thank you for joining us today. We are studying the Old Testament book, The Song of Solomon. This marriage poem comes to us with lots of practical advice, and I've been just so thrilled to be able to teach this book, and thank you for joining us every day as we open our Bibles together. For many of you, this may be the first time you've ever looked at this portion of God's Word seriously, and I'm excited to lead and guide and direct as we move through the Song of Solomon together. We'll get to our lesson in just a moment, but first, a couple of events that are still out there on the horizon for me to remind you about. First of all, in St. Louis, Missouri, on Thursday, March the 31st, we'll be gathering at the Chaffetz Arena, and we'll have an incredible night together with all of our friends from the St. Louis area. And then on Thursday, April the 14th, in Tallahassee, Florida, we'll be at the Tallahassee Leon County Civic Center once again for a Turning Point night rally with all of our friends and all of our musicians and our band. And well, it'll just be a great night together. We encourage you to come and join us in one of these two events if you live in the area. And even if you don't live in that area, you can surely pray for these events for us. And we thank you so much for doing that. We're never surprised when people come up to us and say, we always wanted to come to one of these events, so we just got on the airplane and came over here to do it. So you can always do that as well, too. Anyway, these are ticketed events, both of them. You must have tickets. And the tickets are free, and they're available from Turning Point at davidjeremiah.org/rallies. If you do not do the computer thing, you can call our order line or write to us, and we'll make these tickets available to you by mail, and we encourage you to do it today. Well, today we are getting started with the wedding planner. This is a pretty interesting part of the Song of Solomon, and especially if you happen to be planning your own wedding, you'll resonate with a lot that you hear in these next 2 days. Let's open our Bibles together. This is the Song of Solomon, chapter 3.
Now, we have been studying the Song of Solomon from the Old Testament, which is the love story of Solomon and a country girl by the name of Shulamith. And we begin our discussion today in the third chapter of the Song of Solomon. And we're going to take the last few verses of this chapter, verses 6 through 11. And I've called today's lesson, The Wedding Planner. The Wedding Planner. The most expensive wedding in recorded history took place between Venetia Mittal and Amit Bhattacharya. And the exact cost of the wedding was $60 million. How you could spend that much money on a wedding is beyond me, but they did it. The most expensive wedding cake in history is a diamond wedding cake valued at $20 million. Now, part of the cake is not edible. The most expensive wedding gown, $12 million, a diamond-studded wedding gown. Since I was going to talk to you about Solomon's wedding, I thought I would acquaint myself with some of the more posh weddings in history. I did something really high-tech. I Googled. And I wrote in my little Google place, most expensive weddings. And you would not believe what came up. What came up was a slideshow of the top 20 most expensive celebrity weddings. From Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban's $250,000 wedding, at number 20. The list included the weddings of some of the most famous people in the world of entertainment. I'm talking about Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, Tori Spelling, Donald Trump, Madonna, Pierce Brosnan, Eddie Murphy, Tiger Woods, Christina Aguilera, Elizabeth Taylor, Paul McCartney, and Tom Cruise. At number one on the list of most expensive celebrity weddings was the wedding of Liza Minnelli and David Guest. Their wedding came in at $3.5 million. And at the bottom of the little report on their wedding, if you look this up, you will see these words: the couple divorced the next year. Wow, that's $1.7 million per year in wedding costs. In fact, as I looked back over the list, 8 of the 20 most expensive weddings had already ended in divorce. And this is not the end of the story, as you probably know. You may wonder, how much does an average wedding cost in America today? Well, realize these expensive weddings sort of skew the average, but the average American wedding costs $26,000. And if you've got a bunch of girls in your family, we should stop right now and have a word of prayer for you. This does give some interesting meaning, doesn't it, to the idea that a father gives away his daughter? Are you kidding me? At $26,000 a crack? I don't think so. How do you put a cost on a wedding? Obviously, one thing we do know is that the cost of the wedding does not guarantee the success of the marriage. It's like the title of a book I told you about: Before You Plan Your Wedding, Plan Your Marriage. While great weddings do not necessarily predict great marriages, our weddings do tell a story about marriage that is often overlooked. And as we rejoin Solomon and Shulamith today, we have watched them in their courtship, and now they have returned each one to their own home. Solomon is back in Jerusalem in his palace, and Shulamith has gone back to Shunem in the hills of Lebanon where she grew up. And King Solomon now is making preparations for a royal wedding. The wedding is about to occur, but there's a process that he is going to go through that was very typical of weddings in that day. The first part of the wedding is a formal procession that brings the bride from Shunem back to Jerusalem. As we study these verses, we're going to learn four principles about weddings and marriages that will help us keep focused on the true purpose of marriage that is reflected in our wedding. Now, if you're already married, I urge you to think back to your marriage and remember it as vividly as you can. Think about what it was like the week before you got married. Remember your vows to one another and picture the place where you were married. If you are yet to be married, this message will allow you to think about that day when you will stand at the altar with somebody that you love. Now, there are four principles here in the text. I'm going to use these principles to go through the scripture together. And we begin, first of all, with this one. A wedding is a time of celebration. In the sixth verse of the third chapter of Solomon, we read these words: Who is this coming out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders. The section begins with a question: Who is this who comes out of the wilderness? The route that Solomon would take from Shunem to Jerusalem to bring back his bride to the place of their wedding would have taken them along the Jordan River road. And then if you follow that road, you will arrive in the wilderness at an oasis they now call Jericho. And that's just south of the Dead Sea. Now, if you know anything about the geography of Israel, you know the Dead Sea is the lowest point on the face of the earth. The Dead Sea is 1,400 feet below sea level. So Solomon and his entourage would have ascended to the top of the Judean mountains from the lowest point on the face of the earth, and they would do it in a distance of just 18 miles. Was a very steep ascent. On a clear day, you could see Jerusalem perched on top of the Judean mountains like a royal crown from all the way down at the Dead Sea. Now, this was an incredible procession that is about to occur, fitting only of a king. It was a great celebration, unequaled in the culture of that day. And this reminds us all that a wedding should be a time of great joy and celebration. The excitement of this day is like no other day you will ever experience. Even if because of death or a divorce, you end up getting married a second time, Nothing ever comes close to the anticipation and excitement of the wedding of your youth because it's an event you've never experienced before. Even today, some families are known to start planning their wedding more than 2 years before the actual occasion. Now, as we look at these verses, here are two contemporary observations about the celebration we call a wedding. First of all, let's notice the pageantry of it all. It comes as a surprise to many people today that the ancient Near East marriages were more civil marriages than they were religious marriages. Almost always, these weddings took place in a home, not in the temple or tabernacle or any place like that. They took place in the home. One of the key parts of the wedding was the procession to the bride's home, led by the groom. He would go and gather her to himself and then escort her back to their new home where the actual wedding would take place. The wedding feast that followed would sometimes last up to a whole week. You talk about a long reception. Now that's a reception to behold. And the marriage was a special ritual in which the man publicly pledged himself to his bride and she to him. Now Solomon and his entourage went to Shulamite's home to get her. And the pageantry and the procession was to honor her and appropriately sanctify this day in all of its significance. The wedding day was not just another day on the calendar. It was a once-in-a-lifetime event. And so it should be today for all of us. Two people from diverse backgrounds making a public declaration to one another and commitment to one another for life. There is nothing like this in all of human experience. Nothing like a wedding in all the experience of humanity. Whether it's a simple wedding or a complex one. It should be a wedding that celebrates the significance of that day and that moment in these two people. The pageantry of the wedding. Now notice, secondly, the purpose of it. Solomon wanted the world to know how much he loved this woman. He is putting her on parade. As Shulamite came out of the wilderness and into the city, the Bible tells us that columns of smoke was the result of the procession. And someone said, "This is a smoking hot woman. This is a beautiful girl." The smoke was the result of burning frankincense and myrrh. Now, we've run into frankincense two or three times. It's sort of a gum substance that's extracted from an Arabian plant. And it was used often as a source of fire. It produced a really huge flame. Frankincense, believe it or not, was used in the temple as a symbol of prayer. And when you burnt frankincense, you could see it for a long way. And it provided not only a great flame, but it produced a lot of smoke. In the temple, frankincense was a picture of our prayers ascending to God. And here in the wedding ceremony, we are told that as they came from Shunem toward Jerusalem, they had these torches and they created black smoke that you could see for some distance. And as they got nearer, you would remember that not only was this frankincense that was burning, but they had added myrrh to it. And myrrh had an incredibly intense and pungent aroma. So this was a sight and smell experience. As the wedding procession came near to where you were, you could not only see it, you could smell the aroma of it. It was an incredible celebration. It was a costly celebration. And this day would be the beginning of their new life together, their commitment to each other. It was going to be a strong and secure commitment. And the symbolism of prayer in the burning of the frankincense was a reminder of the spiritual nature of this wedding as well. How many of you know that when you're about to get married, it's a good time to pray? I promise you will pray a lot after you get married, but you really need to pray before you get married too. And prayer is a part of this beautiful, beautiful symbolism. Now, without being over the top, a wedding should be a statement of the importance of the relationship between the man and the woman being married. I performed hundreds of weddings in the years that I've been a pastor. I've seen how weddings have changed over the last 25 years. A lot of things now happen. You know, when I first started doing weddings, they didn't have even the candle where the bride and groom lit the unity candle. And way back in the beginning when I first started doing this, one thing that never happened was they didn't have a beautiful slideshow before the wedding. Now, almost every wedding we do, and I think it's a wonderful thing, they celebrate the uniqueness of each individual in the marriage with pictures of them. In fact, almost always now they show baby pictures, which always gets quite a laugh from the congregation. They show how the bride and the groom have grown up independently. They show pictures of them before they met each other. And then little by little, about halfway through the slide presentation, you see them together. And then you see in these pictures their relationship deepening until ultimately it ends up at the altar where we all are that day. That's a beautiful symbolism of bringing two unique, diverse people together in this beautiful thing we know as marriage. So many things can make a statement. A wedding is a time of celebration. And now notice, a wedding is a time of certification. In verses 7 and 8, we read these words. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 7. Behold, it is Solomon's couch with 60 valiant men around it of the valiant of Israel. When Solomon came for Shulamith, he didn't come alone. He brought the finest of his armies with him. This was a time for the king to show his strength and his power and his majesty and to make an important confirming statement to his bride and the entire wedding party. First of all, he's going to say to her, "You will be safe with me." He brought 60 men with him. You talk about a wedding party. These are the groomsmen for Solomon the king. And the Bible says they were of the valiant of Israel. The 60 warriors represented 1/10 of Solomon's secret service brigade. These were his bodyguards.